Welcome to the IT Experience Podcast, brought to you by Happy Signals, the leading experience management platform for IT. We bring you bite-sized experience management topics, helping you on your way to happiness with your ServiceNow or other ITSM management platform. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this IT Experience coffee break. Hey, welcome again to Happy in 15. Today's topic is traditional SLAs. Basically, should we remove them? So, Sami, should one remove traditional SLAs?
Yeah, this has been my favorite hating topic for years. I have started many seminars and presentations with saying that I just truly hate them. In the last 2 years, maybe my kind of attitude towards SLAs has been a bit more softer, but I would say maybe by understanding their role in more details. So I still believe that they are not really correlating with making end users happier, and there are some problems with them, but we are going to discuss that in this webinar.
But hey, let's go back to 2016. We used to have in our slide deck this kind of slide talking about IT reputation and, you know, the traditional SLA, the CSAT. So tell us something about the slide.
Yeah, so this slide is from very, very early ages, and based on the kind of the times when our company was founded, the first interviews with the enterprises, and that was 2014. And at the time, I understood, and we together understood after that, that the traditional ways of measuring IT are measuring how things are done and what is the output of IT. And when discussing with C-level people, even from the organization, they were asking us more about, okay, they have now a score of 3.7. Is that good, or what that means, or should it be better? And it has always been the same, was very often the kind of the discussion level where we were.
Yeah.
We understood that, okay, people are really kind of trying to figure out what is going on here, because traditional SLAs are green. Your experience data is not so great. You don't really understand the experience. You are not sharing. You are not really using it. It's just this there. And we realized that this has to change, because now everything else is moving to experience direction. Everything is, we are more, as end users, consumers, we are more demanding when it comes to different experiences.
Yeah.
And that has to come to IT. And that was one of the reasons why we founded this company. And
yeah.
But that was the time when we started to realize the watermelon effect. But
yeah,
we didn't call it the watermelon effect at the time. But really helping IT directors to understand that, okay, the process is not experience.
Yeah.
It is related to it, but if you measure traditional SLAs, you are measuring the process of IT.
Mm.
An experience is the sentiment of how people feel about it. And they are related, but not the same thing.
Yeah, and I remember the times like we were at SIDS in London, probably like 2017. There was our customer Virgin Trains was there, actually showing their live data, showing that you know, how people felt about the service. SLA might have been on green. And when they were not actually, they were happy, it was on red. So the kind of we found this correlation.
But Dean was calling that at the time SLA games.
Yeah,
and
true.
I think that's a kind of a, sometimes it really feels like that you are making sure that you are meeting the SLAs and prioritizing things from that perspective, which is not the thing to do for experience.
So I think from that time, maybe now when we are now coming to the time of XLAs, so we have maybe realized that this thing that SLA actually measures the processes, and XLA then measures the outcome and value. So SLA does still measure something.
Yeah.
And I guess we can bring this back, Sami, to the people, processes, and technology.
Exactly.
So SLA still are good measurements for the processes.
Yes, they are. And I would maybe even say that if your key target of IT is cost saving, then you have to be SLA oriented, or you have to do that, and maybe have more weight on that when you are looking at your KPIs, your scorecards, and less weight on the experience. I don't really think that experience is an expensive thing. I don't mean that at all, because with good understanding of end-user experience, you can focus on the right things that matter. But what we have seen from many organizations, when they are now taking the sentiment, the experience in their KPIs, it might be that traditional SLAs are having weight of 75% and the sentiment
25%. Yeah.
For me, that is still a bit not right, because then you are still focused on how you do things in IT, and not focus on what you are delivering as a value.
Exactly.
But I think that is something that what I discussed with these organizations, that let's do that for 1 year.
Mm.
And then when you have enough data, you start to really trust the experience data. You share it with different people, you get that understanding together, that, okay, we can work on this one, we can make it better. Then start to change another way around. Because what, going back to that technology, process, and people, people and the experience should be the starting point.
Exactly.
All the others are supporting that.
Yeah, so when you understand that, okay, here people are not happy with the service, then you can start to look at traditional SLAs, saying, okay, what is not right in the process?
Yeah.
And that's what you were also saying about the cost saving, is that it might be that some of the processes are kind of legacy. They are old and they are not built with the modern automation and all these other capabilities.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why they might be expensive. So you actually, you know, let's target on those places where we reduce cost, but at the same time we make people more productive and happy.
Yeah, yeah.
So kind of relating back to the people.
And one thing we have been now talking a lot, which is not maybe right actually related to SLAs, is that when talking about that automation, think about it, not automating the process in IT, but automating the process for that end user.
Yeah.
And then you are creating value.
Yeah.
You are not only making yourself more efficient, you are making the business more efficient.
Yeah.
And that is a small kind of a tweak in the thinking, but very valuable.
Yeah. And I think that brings us to this. There's one metric that we have found when we're working with our customers. So tell about that. What is the one metric in traditional SLAs that actually does matter?
So during this spring, we did kind of an exercise with three of our key customers. And we were comparing the experience data to traditional SLA data. And of course, we very, very typically talk about the reassignment count is related to experience, and it is.
Yeah.
But the only other one from the traditional SLAs is really the calendar time.
Yeah.
So how long the ticket is open. And again, if you think about this from the end user perspective, it doesn't matter how fast you are answering phone.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you are sending them 10 emails. Okay, that might even cost them some time losing.
Yeah.
If you are not getting it resolved.
Yeah.
The only thing is that when they realize I have a problem, until they realize that it's handled.
And I would also like to bring this back again to the people process tech, because you don't have to reduce the calendar time of all the processes, of all the tickets, but the ones where people are unhappy with it. There are certain processes in IT that doesn't really matter, is it now 1 hour or 5 minutes or 1 week. But if you don't understand from end user point of view what matters for the end users on those processes, you can't reduce the right calendar time or kind of automate the right processes that reduce the calendar time from the end user.
And I think we have had a couple of examples from our customers that certain business group like finance having exactly the last 3 days of the month critical.
Yeah.
Earlier in the month, not so critical from the calendar time, but if during those 3 days, they are not going to get the month closed.
True.
And that would be meaning terrible for the whole company.
All right. Hey, I think now is a good time to actually also hear from one of our customers, so Marta from Wilhelmsen, what they did with their new chat service. So they had a traditional SLA, and let's see, you know, what happened with that.
So one of the first things that we did was to suspend the response SLA on chat. That is something that unexpectedly completely backfired on us. You know, it sounded so great when we were creating this contract that our users wouldn't have to wait longer than 30 seconds to get a response. But in reality, the team was so focused on achieving that SLA, and that's probably how they are measured with the MSP, that they ended up answering more than one chat at a time. That meant that they were leaving the users hanging for minutes between each response. And I still cringe when I think about some of what we were reading in the chats where our users were writing, "Hello, are you there? Are you working on this?" You know, with minutes apart, because there was no answer. So basically our thoughts, we had thought that the chat would be a really good replacement for their former on-site person, or instead of a telephone call for immediate assistance. But in fact, this had become a big source of frustration and was not efficient at all.
So as we heard, the customer had created the SLA themselves together with the provider.
Yeah.
And it was driving the behavior that how fast do you answer? So then they try to answer all of the chats that are incoming at the right time. But it's like us as end users, I think we are used to kind of queuing. But when the queue is over, then I'm expected to get service. But now it kind of went into this very strange behavior.
Yeah, and I think in this case and some other cases where we know that the traditional SLAs are causing some bad behavior when it comes to experience, it is typically related to sanctions.
Yeah.
So if an MSP is really sanctioned on something, you make sure that that is their key target, and they just have to make it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened in this case as well.
Yeah. And I think that's probably now the world where we are going is that moving then to the XLAs, experience level agreements, we start to talk about something else than only sanctions. At least you are talking about, the other part, which is rewards.
Yeah.
And now we did this, the latest happiness score report, the global IT experience benchmark. And from there, we found interesting data. So let's hear from Alan Nance from XLA Collab, who is really working a lot on the topic of XLAs, what he thought about the data that we found.
Well, there's a couple of things. There's something new for me here that I'm really, really pleased about. So for the last 2 years, we've been talking about, for instance, the continuum of consequences, where you have a commercially exciting XLA that's contractually valid. And one of the great things for me coming out of your survey personally was the validation that if you have a really good mix of incentives, both positive and negative, especially towards the external service providers, that has huge benefits. And that's something that we've been pushing and that we believed, but now we have data to support that. So from that perspective, it's great, super great.
All right. So that was Alan talking about this graph that we have here. So tell us, Sami, a little bit on this and what does it mean and what did we find from the data that we have?
Yeah, so this is a bit complicated slide, so I will explain that. So on the left side, you can see where these certain group of customers, where they started when using our product. And
going through these numbers, so these are kind of the net promoter score, happiness style happiness score. So going from -100 to +100.
Yeah. So as you can see, the lowest is people starting on companies starting from about 40 and then increasing the scores to almost 80, so 75-ish.
Yeah.
And that is the companies that selected rewards.
Yeah.
And there you can see the starting point for all those four options, having none of these, having sanctions, having rewards, having both sanctions and rewards.
Yeah.
And what Alan said is that, as you can see from this picture, the highest score is now with the companies having both sanctions and rewards.
Yeah.
There are some things in this picture that we cannot explain. So, for example, now if you look at the companies having sanctions, they are starting higher than those organizations that have made the decision of using rewards. Maybe because they have realized that they really need a change.
Yeah.
So they wanted to motivate outsourced MSP. So everything here is related to outsourcing deals. So this is not companies having internal service desks where the motivation maybe is coming from a different aspect. But with the outsourcing deals, you really have to be careful on how you set the sanctions.
Yeah.
Rewards works, as you can see from this picture. Sometimes sanctions are, let's say, killing the development.
Yeah.
So as you can see, there is less development in those cases where you only have sanctions.
Yeah. So let's go through these numbers so that people get this. So basically, 79% increase in the end user happiness when there were rewards present.
Yeah.
46% increase when there were both sanctions and rewards.
Exactly.
But then only 16 when there were none.
Yeah.
And only 14% increase in the happiness where there were sanctions. So, of course, you get improvement when you use experience management.
Yeah.
But how you put it in the contracts actually has a huge impact as well.
Yeah. So kind of, I think the sanctions are forcing the provider to work in a certain process way.
Yeah.
Which guarantees some kind of quality.
Yeah.
But it also causes some behavior that is not maybe boosting the experience.
Yeah.
And I think, when having both discussions with enterprises and the MSPs a lot, what is really kind of confusing sometimes is that you might be in a situation that both are complaining about the other one not interested in the experience.
Yeah.
And then they both are saying that in fact it's the agreement that is causing this kind of behavior. and some MSPs telling those stories when they are so frustrated, because they know that as a business owner, they have to keep these SLAs, and they know that they are not pushing the experience up.
Yeah.
But they still have to push that down to their organization, that we have to meet this and we are not automating things or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is like, please guys, talk.
Yeah.
And talk openly, because otherwise, if you don't have a trust between the MSP and the customer, you cannot start to use rewards.
Yeah.
And then
you can't,
SaaS doesn't work.
And basically you can't then move from SLAs to the XLA world.
Yeah.
So summary, you maybe shouldn't remove SLAs, but you know, you need to understand that they only measure, you know, the process box. They don't measure how people feel about your service that you provide.
And if you need, take that approach that have more weight on the SLAs first, and then learn the experience together with your vendor, and then move more weight on the experience side.
But hey, I think that summarizes this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. And again, if you didn't, you know, if you're listening to this, you didn't see the picture, go to our YouTube channel or go to our learning center at happysignals.com. Otherwise, you know, I wish you, you know, to stay happy and stay safe.